Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. There is an awesome God. Amen. And we have Him living in our lives if you're a born-again believer, a child of God, and you know where you're going. The end. You see it at the end of your favorite movies. You read it at the end of books. Time and time again, you and I see it in so many different places and locations in our life. Has it ever dawned upon you recently that the end is coming? The Bible makes it very clear that there is going to come an end to this world as you and I know it. You may not hear it preached a great deal, but the Bible makes it very clear and very plain that someday, somewhere in the timing and the economy of God, already set in His calendar, there is an end of this world as you and I know it. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And I want you to look at verse 14 specifically, but let's look at verses 1 through 14. The Scripture says these words, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And He sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for My name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall come the end." Jesus very specifically and very pointedly and very powerfully reminds you and me that there is coming the end. Whether you are aware of it or whether you're not aware of it or whether you've not thought about it recently, the Bible makes it very clear that the end is really, actually, legitimately going to take place. Now, you know, sometimes you may not hear it, and we need to be oriented to the very fact that it is the truth of Scripture. You know, whenever you look at Scripture, the one thing that you need to look at is, Father, what does the truth of the Word of God say, which is His entire Word? And one of the things that Jesus reminds us in this text and many other texts, because one of the hard things to wrap your mind around, and it's literally impossible, there's no way that we can wrap our mind around the coming of the end. That is the end of the world. You know, you look at the world and the size of the earth, the size of the galaxies, and not only this galaxy, but the galaxies beyond this and the solar systems beyond this, and all the different galaxies and solar systems in the universe of God. And the question is raised, how in the world can the end of the world come? Well, you and I need to be reminded that in Genesis, God started it all, and the Bible makes it very clear that God is going to end it all. But the Bible makes it very clear it is the truth of Scripture. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, that's a novel idea, the end of the world, but you need to be oriented to the truth of Scripture. First and foremost, Jesus made it very clear, and He makes it very clear in this passage, but the Bible says the end of the world is declared by Jesus Himself. someone in whom there never was and never is a lie told. Jesus Christ himself, 2,000 years ago, told the disciples, I'm going to tell you about the signs of my coming and the end of the world. In other words, Jesus is saying there is coming a day, a time on the calendar of the Father in which the world is going to come to an end. As a matter of fact, in one passage of Scripture, in Matthew 13, 39, Jesus says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. In other words, Jesus is looking into the future, and just as he has the ability to look into the past, he already has the ability to look into the future, and he knows and sees the end of the world. Whether you want to think about it or not, the Bible makes it very clear the end of the world is coming. The end of this earth, as you and I know it, is quickly coming to an end. This earth, the beginning of Scripture, the penning of Scripture, is estimated to be between 4,000 and 6,000 years of age. But the Bible says, Jesus said, and he told the disciples here, he says, the end is coming. You know, Jesus' disciples even came to him, and they said, what's going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And it's interesting that Jesus didn't tell the disciples, now, it's not for you to know, or there is not going to be an end, but he begins to specifically tell them what will be the signs. The disciples asked 2,000 years ago what the signs were going to be at the end of the world. You think about the things that have gone on and are going on, and we are 2,000 years closer to the end of the world. More things have happened in the last 100 years than has happened in really about the last 1,800 years with technology and flight and all of that in our land. And it's not by accident, because God makes it very clear that certain things must take place before the end comes. When Jesus' disciples gathered together, in verse 3, you look in the third verse of this passage, he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, what shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? You know, the disciples came to him. They confronted him. And when's the world going to come to an end, Jesus? Do you realize that this world is coming to an end? Do you live your life in light of the fact this world is going to end? Now, God doesn't tell us exactly when it's going to end, but God does tell us it's going to end. This earth is going to end. The Bible says it. In the book of Revelation, it says it. All throughout Scripture. Not only does the Bible say it in this particular passage, but you know, you think about it, and Paul, the great apostle of God, he declared it. You look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. The first three words that four words that he says is, then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. In speaking to the precious saints of God in Corinth, you know, he reminds them that the end is coming. Isn't it interesting that 2,000 years have come and gone, and you look back in Scripture, and you've got the evidence of Scripture over and over and over and over again that the end is coming. Now, it may not be preached from many pulpits. It may not be said a great deal, but the Word of the living God declares that you and I are drawing closer to the end. The disciples said it. Jesus said it. Paul, the greatest apostle of God, said it. And even the Great Commission that you and I look at and we read, and that's why we reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the world is going to end. Some people live as though they've got all the time in the world and you don't know about your life, but you don't know when the world is going to come to an end. You know, when you look at the Great Commission in the very last verse of Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In other words, you and I need to gain an understanding the world is coming to an end. It's not science fiction or it's not a novel idea. It is the very Word of the living God. It's the very truth of Holy God. The world is coming to an end. There will be a time in the history of God in which he will absolutely take care of all things, and he gives us a picture, and I'll point that out to you in just a moment. But this earth is coming to an end. You know, some would say, well, you know, it's just going to keep on going on, and some say, well, it should have already blown up. But what are some signs? How do you and I know that this world is coming to an end? It's interesting that Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to give you some signs, and when you see these signs happen, you know that the end is near and even at the door. And as I was reading these, absolutely one of them scared the living daylights out of me, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. But the Bible says there are signs that will precede the coming of Christ and the end of the world. Notice what Jesus says. And he points out some specific signs. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. And then he begins in verse 4 through verse 14. And he talks to them. The Bible says there'll be the sign of deception. You know, so many people don't believe the end is coming, so they live as though there's no end. Many preachers preach as if there's no coming, and in their mind, they don't think it's going to come to an end. But the Bible says it's coming. Jesus says it's coming. But Jesus said the first thing is going to be deception. Are you deceived? Is this a new to your thinking and to your life and your living? Is this a new message? Maybe you've never heard a message before on the coming of the end. But the Bible says there's going to be massive deception and there's going to be preachers that will deceive the masses. That's a reality before the end comes. Now, there have been many messiahs that have been raised, and you know, sadly, so many people refuse to teach and preach the biblical reality, but it doesn't change the fact of the matter. You know, the Bible says there's going to be false messiahs. You know, it's amazing how many people you see offering deliverance. You can turn your TV on, and for $49.95, cash, check, money order, Visa, Discover card, American Express, it's amazing what you can have done for you. Jesus said false messiahs would come, offering some form of deliverance. There's a lot of psychological deliverance that's out there. But listen, you and I don't need psychological deliverance only. We need spiritual deliverance because the Bible says man is wicked from the very core of his being. We were shaped in iniquity. In sin were we conceived. The Bible says we don't need a psychologist. We need a rescue. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. That's what we need. There are so many false messiahs offering some sort of delusional hope. But listen to me very carefully, friend. When you die, it's final. When you die, that's the end. When you get to the end of your life, no, it's not really the end, but it's the end of your earthly life, and your eternal destiny is set, sealed, and finally established. And you see, you know, the Bible says there's going to be frequency of wars in so many places, and nations are going to hate one another. Have you ever seen a time of hate? Here in Corbin just recently, there was a murder-suicide, but it wasn't somebody in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, somebody in their 90s and 80s. The Bible says that's what's going to take place. The Bible says there's going to be massive famine and pestilence and earthquake. Listen to this article. New York Times, December the 17th, 2007. Quote, unquote, the world's food stocks are dwindling rapidly. December the 17th, look it up in the New York Times. December the 17th, 2007. The world's food stock is dwindling rapidly. Famine. You know, earthquakes. You just think about the earthquakes that we've had. Indonesia, Samoa, Asia, China, Haiti. And I thought, I wonder how many earthquakes we've had just in a 10-year period of time. Wonder how many we've had just from 2000 to 2010. I thought maybe 11, 12, 1300. Do you realize that in the last 10 years, we have had 289,171 earthquakes in the world since 2000, measurable by the U.S. Geological Survey. The Bible says when you see these things that are so obvious take place, know this, that the end is near, even at the door. Now, Jesus says you don't know the day and the hour in which the Lord comes or the end of the world, but he does give you and me a picture. And you know, there will be worldwide persecution. The Bible says there'll be worldwide persecution of the saints of God. There'll be worldwide persecution of you. The world's not going to love the church. The world is going to grow in hate toward the church. That's what the Bible says. But whenever you think about the end coming, it's very interesting that Jesus gives us a picture of the future from the past. And if you'll notice, the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus himself, as he speaks about the end time, you know, to every believing heart, the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke these words, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Now, Jesus literally says, "As it was, so shall it be." In other words, Jesus said, if you want to get a snapshot picture of how the end is going to be, what is going to take place, what's going to be happening on the earth, just go back and look at Noah's time. You will get a snapshot picture in your mind and in your life of what the end is going to be like. Because listen to what he said, as it was, so shall it be. In other words, as it was in the past, whether it's 3,000, 4,000 years ago, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Well, with that being said, how was it in Noah's day? What exactly was it like in the life and times of Noah? Well, you don't have to turn your Bibles to Genesis, but the Bible makes it very clear of some things that took place. Just think about this. Noah's time, the people were doing the common things. What were they doing? Well, they were sitting down to eat and drink and marry. They were having engagement parties. The kids were getting married and all of that, and they were just really doing the normal things of life. Do you know that's what the Bible says when the end comes? You know, the Bible says in Genesis they didn't even know until the flood came and washed them all away. They were doing the common things of life. Jesus said it's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen in such unexpectedness. Now, those who are children of God know that it's coming, those who are students of the Word of God. But the Bible says, whenever you look at Scripture, the Bible says that they were doing the common things. You know, Noah's time revealed a complete closure of the heart to God. Now think about this. Noah preached for 120 years. Get the picture. He preaches, builds an ark. Preaches, builds an ark. I don't know about you, but if I saw a ship 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, I would know something is up. There was nothing hidden about the flood. There was nothing disguised about the flood. God made it very clear through his servant Noah. As he preached, nobody listened. Think about this. The obvious was there. The obvious was very evident. And, you know, they may have even asked him, Noah, what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be a flood. Well, what in the world's a flood? Because the Bible says that the earth was watered from the springs in that day and time. And he may have said something like this. Well, he may have not. There's going to come droplets from the sky. Oh, you're silly. You know, we always live in a time where people call you and me silly. The Word of God silly. But the Bible says that Noah went in the ark and everyone else shortly thereafter found out what took place. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. When Jesus Christ comes in the end of the world, there's a lot of things that's going to happen very quickly, very suddenly, and also that's just going to continue to repeat. Watch what happened. Noah and his family, safe in the ark, they were rescued. Those who know Jesus Christ are going to be rescued at his second coming. But those on the outside of the ark, they were destroyed. Those who don't know Jesus Christ are going to be destroyed. And they're going to literally be devastated because they're going to find in that day and time they really didn't believe in the coming of Jesus Christ. They didn't believe in the coming of the end of the world. Listen, also at the same time, everything on the earth was destroyed. There were so many things that happened consecutively at the rescue of Noah and his family, the destruction of the earth's population, the destruction of everything on earth. Listen, God can do everything consistently, consecutively, all at one time. He's God. You and I need to be very conscious that God said, as it was in the days of Noah. Why do people not respond to the gospel? Jesus said, that's the way it's going to be. The love of many will grow cold. Why is it so hard for people to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his church? Jesus said it was going to be that way. As it grows closer to the end of time, that's what the living Word of God says. And here is Noah, his family's safe, And everything that's happening, I'm sure in his own eyes, is beyond belief. He can't imagine what he's seeing. He just knows he's safe. Now listen to me very carefully. You know if you're saved or not. Everybody that was outside the ark, they knew they were outside the ark. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There was no guesswork. They probably made fun of Noah, made fun of his family, made fun of everybody that went in. But when they went in and God shut the ark up, there was no help left. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. We always paint a picture of a loving God. God is a God of love. God is a God of grace. But after you die, it's over. You say, well, God just wouldn't do that. God doesn't do that to human beings. All the messages I've heard are God of love. Yes, God is a God of love. But let me ask you a question. If God let an unbeliever into heaven, it wouldn't be heaven. It wouldn't be heaven for the others there. The Bible says in one passage of Scripture, in Psalms chapter 145, listen to what it says. The Lord preserves all that love him. But listen carefully. All the wicked he will destroy. All the wicked. Don't you think that Noah, listen, 120 years he preached. Some of you have heard message and you're here without Jesus Christ and you think, I'll accept him later. You may or you may not. You may not have the opportunity to accept him later. Today could be the last day of your life. You know, only the Lord knows how everything, but the Bible says clearly and specifically, the end is coming. Listen, people harden their hearts and, you know, those outside of the ark, no hope. There is a day in the timing of God, there's no hope left. There is a day when there's no hope. Don't you dare believe for one moment that the God who created everything, there is just hope and hope and hope and hope. Listen, some people have sinned so grievously that their heart is so hardened. Their heart is so hardened to the gospel of Christ. Jesus said it was going to be that way. He said the gospel must be preached, but he didn't say the gospel had to be accepted, did he? Nowhere in the Bible does it say the gospel will have to be accepted. The Bible says the gospel will be what? Preached. In other words, God's grace gives you and me one chance. He gives abundant chances, but he says it's preached. Everyone who died was without excuse. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully and very lovingly. You die today without Jesus Christ. You die without excuse. There is no excuse. You say, well, people in church hurt me. Well, people that are saved inside church probably get hurt from one another. Which would you rather do? Go to church with someone that hurt you? Or find yourself in hell with some that you said hurt you and they weren't really saved at all? They were playing a Christian and you find them in torment because you're there too. You realize, hey, they weren't a church member. They were lost. The Bible makes it very clear. The end is coming. Assignments have already been given. Did you know that? It's not a novel idea in the Father's mind. Assignments have already been given. Not going to be given. Not will be given. Assignments have already been given. Jesus made it very clear that his coming would precede the end of the world. But then he talks about some assignments that are going to be given. In Matthew 13, 39, he talks about the end of the age, end of the world. In verse 39, he says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Well, Jesus Christ has his assignment. He's going to come and receive those unto himself. I'm so glad I'm going, aren't you? I'm so glad I'm a child of the living God. Listen, Lord Jesus comes right now. That is wonderful of me. You say, well, you won't get finished with the message. I'll let somebody else take over if they want to. Listen, be wonderful. I mean, think about it. To be absent from the body, to be that generation that's alive when Jesus comes. But you know the reality about it is, Jesus come today and take his church away in the rapture. A lot of church buildings would still be full. people that would be unredeemed, yet they're on a church roll. Jesus has his assignment, but he also says at the end of the age, there's an assignment given to the angels. Listen carefully again at verse 39. The enemy that sows them is the devil. Now, he's talking about lost people. He's talking about those who are unrepentant. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Listen, irregardless of what you believe about the end of the world, it is the responsibility of God's angels at the end of the world to come gather all the wicked, all the unredeemed of all nations, tribe, kindred, of all languages, of all generations. And the Bible says they're going to be dealt with by holy God. They're going to be separated for all of eternity, be banished from a loving God. Listen, that's what the Bible says. And you see, at the end of the world, the angels already have been given their assignment. They're simply awaiting the end of the world. They know what their assignments, they know every angel knows their assignment. They've already been given their assignment. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, the end of the world is coming. It is going to be a literal reality. The Bible says the elements will melt with fervent heat. Listen, we're not surprised anymore with meteor showers. More and more meteor showers. The Bible says that and much, much more is going to happen. You see, it'll be a most horrible day. I can't even begin to fathom or think what it was like in the days of Noah, because Jesus said that's how it's going to be. All of a sudden, people are going to realize, again, they're not prepared. Can't you just imagine? Can't you just imagine Noah and his family safely inside the ark? Starts to rain, and all of a sudden, did we hear Noah say something about this? A daddy and mom and their kids try to get to a safer place, get to higher ground. All of a sudden, it just gets worse and worse, and there's no more higher ground to go to. And a dad and a mom and babies, kids, they're washed away. All because of one thing. What if that dad would have believed in the God of Noah? What if that mom would have believed in the God of Noah? It is going to be too late to be right with God someday. When will that end come? How will it exactly come? What's the date? Nobody knows the day or the hour. But it's all throughout the Word of God. It's all throughout this precious book. The end is really going to come. God doesn't ask you to believe it. It's going to come even if you don't believe it. It's the only thing that will change is you. See, those people in Noah's day didn't change Noah, didn't change his family, sure changed them. They drowned because of rebellion. One thought has gone through my mind many times over the years that I've pastored. Father, I wonder how many people died rebellious to you that I preached to over the years, maybe that I never even knew of. It was just a silent rebellion to the Holy God, a silent rebellion to the shed blood of Jesus Christ, a silent rebellion, and the day they died, they knew they were lost. Pride can do a lot of things in your life. Pride can keep you from the cross. If I could stand in front of each one of you in a very loving way and ask you this question, how would you answer it? Do you know that you're really saved? Do you really know that you're saved? Do you know that you're a child of God? People may have hurt you and things may have happened in your life, but you know what? Imagine being inside the ark. Listen. You can make a lot of wrong decisions in life, and there's no big deal to it. No big deal. You might buy a wrong car and have to swallow the money because it's just a clunker. You might invest in something else and wish you'd never invested in it. But you make a wrong decision with Jesus, and it will cost you for all of eternity. Amen? Eternity is an awful long time to be wrong. I believe with all my heart you'll remember this message and many, many messages. The Father wants you to know the end is coming. The Father wanted Noah's generation. There's going to come a flood. How few or how many were within that was based not on God, was based on their belief and their faith and their confidence. And the Bible says nobody believed. Except Noah. He was the only man righteous in his day and time. Where will the end of the world find you? Redeemed by God or destroyed? Father, I thank you that you love us enough that you'll never, never mince your words, but you always speak in love. You never speak to hurt our feelings, but you speak pointedly, powerfully, candidly, so that we can know the honest truth. And Father, you remind us the end is coming. In a day and hour, we don't think about it. Lord, there's going to come a day in which you gather your children together. What a glorious day that will be. But then there's also going to come the end of the world. Lord, our mind can't wrap our brains around it, but there's a million things and more that we can't understand, but we accept them by faith. Father, I pray for that person this morning who your Spirit is dealing with that needs to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that lost person who's here, that you would just convict them of sin, of judgment, and of your righteousness. Father, you give us choice. And that's why so many people have rejected you and walked into hell. You remind us that a person can do that. Father, eternity is so long to be wrong. Jesus, we pray, with heads continually bowed, before we even sing, all heads bowed. You're here this morning, and you're not a Christian. My head is bowed too. I'm not even looking up, but you're not a Christian, and you'd like to be saved right now. You can be saved right where you are. The Father loves you. That's why he tells you the truth. That convicting, that pain you feel in your heart, is the Spirit of God letting you know that you're not right with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ. And if you want to be saved, you can be saved right where you're sitting if you'd pray this simple prayer and mean it from the bottom of your heart. Lord Jesus, I know I'm lost. I'm not prepared for your coming and the end of the world. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my heart and save me. And I mean this prayer with all of my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, have your will in this invitation in Christ's name.